The burnt ashes of korbanot piled on the altar represent the intermingled prayers and dreams, experiences, and regrets of the Jewish people. They are the concentrated experience of the Mishkan itself, filled with human beings approaching the divine in response to wildly different circumstances. While Vayikra separates the different korbanot and the reasons they are brought into organized lists, the actual Mishkan would have offered no clear separation. Within its curtain walls, people of different tribes, ages, and degrees of wealth would have mingled. Most markedly different, however, would have been the reasons they came to offer their sacrifices. On any given day in the Mishkan, a Nazir coming to complete his period of abstinence might stand side by side with a man filled with regret there to offer his Hashem. Next to a new mother there to offer her chatat as part of her purification ritual, might stand a woman recovered from illness, there to bring her todah as an expression of gratitude to God. At a distance, we might imagine a metzora, out of isolation, and ready to offer his sacrifice and return home. The Mishkan is the improbable place that gathers together this expanse of human emotion and experience into a single space. There is something about this gathering that itself feels miraculous. Vayikra Rabbah expresses the miraculous nature of the Mishkan's ability to gather the Jewish people together. Said Rabbi Elazar, "All of Israel are 600,000, and you say, gather all of the assembly to the entrance of the Ohel Moed? Rather, this is one of the places where a little can hold a lot." Commenting on the command to gather the entire Jewish people together at the entrance to the Mishkan during the Yemei Miluim, the inauguration of the Mishkan, Vayikra Rabbah expresses surprise. How is it possible that 600,000 people, the number of men in the Jewish people, according to the Torah, gather at the Mishkan's entrance at one time? The Midrash answers that this is one of a number of miracles in which a space was expanded to hold more than what it should have had the capacity to contain. While Vayikra Rabbah frames the Mishkan's astonishing ability in terms of numbers, its astonishment at the ability of a space so small to contain so much might extend to intangibles. The Mishkan is miraculous not in its ability to hold so many humans, but in its ability to contain so much humanity. Although they are gathered together into a single space, however, the experience of each person who enters the Mishkan and its successor, the Beit HaMikdash, remains discrete. Vayikra Rabbah. This was also true in the Beit HaMikdash. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Onya says in the name of Rabbi Acha, "Each person had a width of 4 amot and a ma on each side, so that not one of them would hear the voice of their fellow's prayer." Vayikra Rabbah's statement that although they are crowded together, each person in the Beit HaMikdash had enough space so that their prayers cannot be overheard, balances this ingathering of humanity with respect for the individuality of human experience. While a pilgrim might rub shoulders with dozens of others, his particular circumstances are unique and contained within a realm of privacy of his own. This is as it should be. Each person who comes to offer a korban is there because of some emotionally and religiously charged circumstance. The 4 amot surrounding each worshiper and consequent privacy ensures that each pilgrim's experience is given the weight it deserves. But there is a cost to the 4 amot of space around each worshiper. It has the potential to de-emphasize the things everyone there shares. While each pilgrim's circumstances are unique, they share the deep commonality of the need to approach God. While their experiences and resulting korbanot are different, the prayers that underlie them are based on a finite number of words. Please, God. Thank you. See me. Hold me. The 4 amot of distance belie this commonality and treat their shared needs as discrete. Even though the pilgrims offering their korbanot are distanced from each other, a later stage of the process brings all the people together. Once the korbanot have been burnt and turned to ash, this ash itself is sacred and offered on the Mizbeach. Rashi on Vayikra 6:1. "He shall take out the ashes which the fire of the burnt offering consumed, and made it into ashes. From those ashes he shall take out a portion and put it beside the altar." Rashi clarifies that the removal of ashes from the Mizbeach is not a simple cleaning protocol. The portion of ashes which are placed besides the altar are themselves a truma, an offering to God, and as such, sacred. What is sacred about a pile of ash? What makes it important enough that it is considered an offering of its own rather than simply the remains of korbanot already offered? Perhaps the sanctity of the Trumat Hadeshen, the offering of the ashes, stems from its relationship to the gathering function of the Mishkan. On the Mizbeach, the ashes of the korbanot mingle, no longer discrete. Prayers piled upon prayers, the experiences of gratitude and guilt, birth and recovery jumbled together and made sacred anew through their contact. In the ash, our sacrifices and their prayers take a different form. They touch each other at every point, from every angle. They become, instead of particular sacrifices attached to individual lives and circumstances, a representation of the Jewish people as a whole, with all its collective longing for God. Our prayers, lives, and longings are precious in their uniqueness. They require and deserve their four amot of space. But in the aftermath, in the ashes, we discover the other side of that truth. Like pilgrims in the Mishkan, our prayers rub shoulders. My longings, my prayers, my dreams are not so different from yours. Perhaps, in some ways, they are even tied together. Maybe in order to reach God, we need to begin to see the places where our prayers touch.